Hello, this is my Easter week diary for April the 15th, 2020. Today is Wednesday in Easter week. The gospel lesson the Eucharistic lectionary gives us for today is, frankly, probably my favorite post-resurrection appearance story. And so, if you'll permit me, I'm going to read the entire passage. This is from the 24th chapter of Luke. Now on that same day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself and all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered there. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." It's just an incredible story, and Luke has such a way of telling it. Cleopas and an unnamed disciple have this experience of walking for a few miles with this stranger who breaks open to them, shows them through the scriptures how it is that Messiah is to suffer and die and to rise again. I can only imagine what that sermon must have been like, what that rabbinic teaching must have been like, as the risen Lord gives them these scriptural insights as they walk along one step at a time. One step at a time. He, the risen Lord, prepares their hearts one step at a time. And then, gathered at table, there's something in the way that he blesses, something in the way that he breaks the bread, something in the way he hands it over to them in this flash. As they are sitting at table with him, they recognize him for who he is, and as soon as they recognize him, he's gone. Just an amazing story. And they say to each other, didn't our hearts burn with us? Couldn't we feel something different about this stranger who was teaching us along the way? And then when they go back to Jerusalem, take another 7-mile trek by foot back to Jerusalem to check in with the other disciples, they say how he was made known to them, Jesus was made known to them during the breaking of the bread. One of the great privileges and joys that I have as a priest is to be able to celebrate the Eucharist with the community gathered. I've celebrated the Eucharist on joyful days and sad days. I've celebrated the Eucharist with lots of people and with very few. I've celebrated the Eucharist when there's been grand music, and I've celebrated the Eucharist when there was no music at all. I've celebrated the Eucharist when I felt really well and when I didn't feel so well. I've celebrated the Eucharist when I felt close to God and when I didn't feel particularly close to God. It is constitutive of my life as a priest in community to celebrate the Eucharist. And I very much believe that in that moment of the consecratory prayer over the bread and wine, with the community gathered and the descent of the Spirit, I believe the bread and wine become something more than bread and wine. I'm not quite ready to go with my Roman Catholic sisters and brothers and claim transubstantiation, but I will claim real presence, that there is something fundamentally different about consecrated bread and wine, that it is holy. And that it is spiritual food and spiritual drink. One of the things that I say as an invitation, it's in our prayer book, after the bread is broken, after the fraction anthem is sung, one of the things that happens next is an invitation is issued for people to come and receive. And the invitation simply says, the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. I don't know exactly what goes through people's minds when they come to the rail or go through the line and have that piece of bread put in their hand, take that sip of wine from the cup. I suspect that for some people, it's a religious ritual and not very much more than that. For other people, it's a moment of comfort or a close connection with tradition or a family member or maybe friends and neighbors who are at church with them. For some folks, there is a mystical experience. They really feel close to God at receiving the Eucharist. There's a whole range of experiences. As I think about that, though, in light of today's gospel reading, my continued hope is that we will be able to see, that we will be able to recognize the presence of Jesus in the breaking of the bread. And by that, I don't mean that somehow Jesus' metaphorical presence is among us or the memory of his presence is among us. I mean that our eyes are open to see the spiritual truth that is right in front of us. That Christ's body and blood are made manifest in a moment within the context of this community of believers, and that the food we receive and the drink that we take they are more than simply a piece of nearly tasteless bread and a sip of really sweet wine. I continue to pray that we will never take for granted this great gift that Christ has given the church, the gift of the Holy Eucharist, the gift of Himself. And when we are once again gathered together after this time of sheltering in place has ended, and we once again share Eucharist, my prayer is that the risen Lord will be made known to us in that simple, sacred, sacramental meal. Did our hearts not burn within us when He opened up the Scriptures, and then they shared how He had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread? As it was then, may it be for us now and into eternity. Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son made Himself known to His disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold Him in all His redeeming work, who lives and reigns with You in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.